I live in Duluth, Minnesota, which can get pretty darned cold. The coldest temperature on record here was minus 41 degrees Fahrenheit on January 2nd, 1885, over a decade before my grandpa was born. But the second coldest temperature ever measured in Duluth, minus 39, happened on February 2nd, 1996, when we were living here. Most years, we have at least one or two cold snaps with nighttime temperatures in the double digits below zero. And on many days, Duluth's temperature never rises to zero. The most consecutive hours when the temperature never got above zero was 186, amounting to almost 8 straight days from February 12th to 20th, 1994. That year, Lake Superior's entire surface froze. If we're dressed properly, excessively cold temperatures can be fun for people. When it's cold enough, people can hammer a nail into wood using a frozen banana or blow bubbles that instantly freeze and shatter. Birds don't play games like that in the cold, well, at least as far as we know, except that crows and ravens do sometimes slide on or play with snow. But as long as most species of birds have enough food and are acclimated to cold weather, they do surprisingly well in frigid temperatures. Even naked as jaybirds, birds come attired in the highest quality down underwear imaginable. Songbirds average between 2,000 and 4,000 feathers and have more in winter than in summer. Most songbirds molt into fresh outer feathers in late summer after the breeding season. Then as temperatures start getting colder, they grow more and more down feathers. We can't see those feathers, and they don't appreciably bulk out a bird's appearance except on frigid days. Each feather is attached to a tiny muscle that can erect the feather as needed. In cold temperatures, a bird can raise its feathers the way we loft a down sleeping bag to improve its insulation. On February 2, 1996, up in Tower, Minnesota, the temperature dropped all the way down to minus 60 degrees Fahrenheit, the all-time coldest temperature ever recorded, not just in Minnesota, but in any state east of the Mississippi River. Weather forecasters had predicted that the record would be broken that night, and one man decided it would be cool to camp out. TV and radio stations and newspaper reporters were there in the morning when he emerged triumphant. Everybody was so impressed with him that not one of the reporters or newscasters took note of the chickadees, not just chickadee-dee-deeing, but singing their Hey Sweetie songs in the background. Those chickadees had each slept in their own individual cavity, naked as jaybirds, no high-tech clothing, hand and foot warmers, or camp stoves at all. Unlike some small songbirds, chickadees do not snuggle together, even on the coldest nights. Instead, they allow their body temperature to drop dramatically overnight, and then they shiver violently when they first awaken. That muscle action heats their tissues back up to about 105 to 108 degrees. Overnight, they've burned up most or even all of their fat stores, so they need breakfast as soon as possible. They instantly head to their favorite bird feeder or reliable cache of food to stoke their metabolic furnace. The birds that appear in your yard at first light on cold days are the ones most counting on the food provided by your feeders and/or vegetation. We haven't dealt with sub-zero temperatures so far at all this year, but Saturday morning the temperature in my yard hovered at 5 degrees until after 9 a.m. At first light around 7:30, not one, not two, but all three of my neighborhood pileated woodpeckers came to my suet feeders, and throughout the morning whenever I looked out I could see at least one of them. When I got up Sunday, it was 14 degrees. I thought the relatively balmy temperatures were the reason none of the pileated woodpeckers showed up at first light. I didn't notice any until 8:25. But not long after one of them called out a couple times, a Cooper's hawk flew in. I don't know whether it just arrived or had been here since dawn. I almost lost a female pileated to a sharp-shinned hawk 6 years ago, and Coopers are bigger and stronger, so I'm hoping against hope that this one is just passing through. Our wintering woodpeckers and songbirds must get enough food during the brief daytime hours to keep them going overnight, while also avoiding predators who are themselves hungry. It's tough to be a bird. But our winter birds don't seem to bemoan their fate. Chickadees and pileated woodpeckers are not migratory species, and Duluth is well within their range. So far, we haven't learned how to communicate with them, but I suspect they do most of their complaining about the weather during summer hot spells. Winter, even the coldest weather, is just part of normal daily life. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.